first reading is from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all these that came in the ark with you. Every living creature on earth, establish my covenant with you. Never again will life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you, and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign to the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you, and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood and destroy all of life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it, and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures of every kind on earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth. The second reading is from Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 15. At that time Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended to him. After John was out of prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.
Today, we're starting a new series as we enter into the period of Lent in the church calendar. Lent is a time which has been celebrated by the church from only a few hundred years after Jesus' death, right through to today. And it's a reflection on Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness following his baptism. So it's a time of reflecting on Jesus' willingness to sacrifice himself for our sake, and a time for us to enter into a time of self-sacrifice for Jesus. In today's Gospel reading from the book of Mark, we again read the story of Jesus' baptism. And over the coming weeks leading up to Easter, we'll be following the lectionary readings and looking at some of the significant moments in Jesus' life and ministry. And we will be asking the question of what is revealed about Jesus and God more broadly in these moments, and how we have the responsibility that if God has chosen to reveal these things to us about who he is, then we need to think about how we are revealing these things to those around us who do not yet know Jesus and God as we know him. So in the story of Jesus' baptism in Mark's Gospel, we have John the Baptist. And he is baptizing people who come to him. And he is preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Recently, we heard about the prophet Samuel just a few weeks ago, and how everyone who heard him when they came to the temple to worship God respected him. And the obvious wisdom and authenticity that he spoke with as a prophet of God. Everyone spoke well of Samuel all throughout Israel. John the Baptist was the same. The people who heard him speak respect him greatly because of his impactful, insightful, spirit-filled preaching. And so thousands went out to be baptized by him. He was preparing the way for one greater than him. John baptized with water, but the one who would come after him would baptize with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comes out to John and is baptized. And we're told that some remarkable events happened as Jesus came up out of the water. John saw heaven being torn open, and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus in the form of a dove. And then a voice spoke from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Last week we heard about how God allowed Elisha to have his eyes open to see the spiritual realm as Elijah was taken up into heaven. John, in this moment, also had his eyes open to see the heavenly realm. And so at Jesus' baptism, a hole was torn open between heaven and the physical world, and down from heaven came the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. And the form that the Holy Spirit took as it came down on Jesus was that of a dove. So we read of these amazing events. Heaven torn open so that the Holy Spirit could come down upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven speaking of Jesus saying, "You are my Son, with whom I am well pleased." So clearly there is something special which is happening here. Something extraordinary. There is an interaction between heaven and the physical world where God the Father is breaking through in this special way to make the baptism of Jesus a once in history, historic moment. Jesus is affirmed by God to be his Son. Jesus is not some person with a mental illness who has delusions that he is the Son of God. He is affirmed in his baptism that he is who he believes he is, the Son of God. And so when we look at the person of Jesus, it is important to ask, is there something special about him? Is there something different about Jesus which sets him apart from all other people, for the rest of humanity? Do his teachings show something special? Do they show the highest form of morality ever devised by anyone ever? And I will say yes, a morality to which is still the standard for us in the world today. You see, as Christians, it's nice to have these stories of Jesus and to hear how God spoke at Jesus' baptism. But maybe that's not the best way to start a conversation about this when talking to people who don't believe. Maybe we need to be thinking about how we can share this idea of Jesus being the Son of God in a way which doesn't mean that you just have to believe the words of the Bible, by showing who Jesus was, by showing what Jesus taught, by showing the moral code, the standard, the ethic, the way he lived his life, and how that's something special. And the proof is not just, on God speaking and baptism. It's in the life Jesus lived. And when when we look at Jesus, we see an amazing man who is well before his time in all moral thinking. I mean, just take women for example. Jesus only ever treats women with full dignity, often elevating women to equal status as men in a very patriarchal society and time. And even praising women as showing a higher level of faith at times than his disciples. And never does Jesus ever at any time condone the use of violence to get what one wants. If we look at the life and teachings of Jesus, between Jesus and all other people, there is no false comparison. So in his teachings and how he interacted with people, Jesus stands apart as the greatest moral figure in all history. And I think as Christians, we need to know what is remarkable about Jesus so that we can share his interesting qualities that make him the best human being to ever live. So if there was someone who could claim to be God in human form, then Jesus would be it. What I want to show here is that we read the Bible, and by faith we have come to believe that what we read is true. But in order to reveal the truth of these words, we often have to think how to connect it with people who don't have faith. So we have to think of how to present it in different ways to how it might be presented to us in the Bible, in ways which will connect with the people we're sharing with. Now, the voice from heaven wasn't the only amazing event at Jesus' baptism that day, as we read. Because heaven was torn open, and the Holy Spirit descended from heaven. Have you ever wondered what Jesus' baptism was all about? Now, I presented in other sermons some ideas about this. But today I'm going to present to you something to add to what I've already presented to you. The main line that I've used when I've been talking about what Jesus' baptism was about is how Jesus' baptism was about him taking on his ministry, being baptized into his ministry, living an ordinary life and moving into this special ministry, which is correct. But I do want to add to this. And I'm going to ask you the same question I asked myself as I read and reread and reread this passage. Why did the Holy Spirit choose to be seen in the form of a dove? I mean, it wasn't just because a dove is a nice animal to look at. It's not just because it's a white animal and white is white to be white. And it flies, not make sense, it didn't stand. This is the moment when Jesus receives his ministry and receives the Holy Spirit to go into that ministry. The form of talk is significant for the ministry received in his baptism. And I can tell you that the first words we have about Jesus in his ministry confirmed this. In Mark 1, 14 and 15, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." So what significance in the Bible does the dove have? Well, our other Bible reading this morning from Genesis just so happens to have the story including his dove. The story of Noah's dove. And when you know it, the legendary people have already worked this out. They're pretty smart. But God having the Holy Spirit descend as a dove is God's way of saying, in order to understand Jesus' baptism more fully, see the story of Noah's dove. And in particular, look at the dove and that role it plays. So what does the dove do? When the story of Noah's Ark, let's go through the story in point so we're right to speed. Noah was the only person who was living a life trying to please God. Everyone else was wicked. We're told that every inclination of their heart was evil all the time. We're told that God was claimed by the violence of people and decided that it would be better just to wipe them out. All they ever do was evil. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And so God tells Noah what he's going to do and how to construct an ark and what God wants him to do in preparation for the flood he's going to bring so that he and his family will be saved. Well, the flood comes and Noah and the animals and his family on the ark are saved. Now, Noah wouldn't have been a perfect person. Because none of us are. But he tried to walk in God's ways. And so God saw that, honored and saved Noah from the judgment he brought on the rest of humanity's evil, wickedness, and violence. And the baptism John the Baptist was preaching was this baptism. It was a choosing to turn away from the life of sin and wickedness, passing through water, and taking on the way of Noah. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. By choosing to try and live a righteous life in line with God's ways, God would save people from their sin, which separates them from God. And this still forms a part of the Christian understanding of baptism and what it's about. But it's not all. Being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for instance, also is about being part of and being immersed in the community of those who believe in and follow Jesus and continue on his ministry in the world. We are baptized into Jesus' baptism. But Jesus' baptism isn't this at all. The dove was the animal which Noah set out to see if there was any dry ground following the great flood. It's not the only bird he sent out, but it was the bird that he sent out that eventually returned with proof that the flood waters were receding. And then later, never returned, having found some emptiness. The dove showed that God had indeed saved Noah and his family. The salvation was complete. And the dove was the messenger of that. The ordeal of the flood was over. God had saved Noah. So the ministry of the dove is to proclaim that God has chosen to save people from the judgment he is bringing in order to put an end to all wickedness and evil. So when Jesus begins his ministry, this is exactly what he starts doing. The first thing Jesus does after the 40 days in the desert with the wild animals and being tempted by Satan is to go to Galilee and proclaim the good news of God, saying, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news." And in the life and ministry of Jesus, there is a coming together of the heavenly kingdom and the earthly physical world. Not only does he proclaim the good news, but he casts out demons. And he heals people wherever he goes. In everything Jesus says and does, he gives a glimpse of the coming kingdom of heaven which he is proclaiming. Now, there's actually more to the story of Noah in connection with Jesus' baptism, but I'm going to look at that for another message later on in the series, which lines up with another New Testament reading very well. But there is a question we need to ask ourselves. If we're going, we need to ask ourselves, are we giving people a glimpse of heaven in what we say and do? as we live out our Christian lives, there should be a coming together of the heavenly kingdom and our physical world. Wherever you go, the kingdom of God should follow you. Jesus not only taught how we should live and act and love, but he lived out that life and love. You see, when it comes to sharing the Jesus which has been revealed to us, that sharing includes how we live out our lives. It is no good telling someone God loves you if you do it in a rude way. If you're going to say God loves you, you must be acting towards that person in a loving manner. How we live is of vital importance in sharing who we know Jesus to be. But on the other hand, just living out a righteous life as best as we can, a moral life as best as we can, in light of following Jesus, is not all we need to do. So we need to be doing that, but it's not all we need to do. Just as Jesus has the ministry of proclamation, we too have the ministry of proclamation. We need to be actively looking for ways to share with our words who Jesus is. Because if the good news is that God has opened the way to the kingdom of God through Jesus, the Son of God, then as Paul writes in Romans 10, 14, 15, how then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent, as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It is those who go and bring good news. We have good news. We have been sent to bring the good news to people, so that people may hear and believe and thus receive salvation from sin and judgment. Jesus is the Son of God, and God sent him to proclaim the good news that God has chosen to open up the way of salvation. God has chosen to deal with sin by removing sin from sinful humanity, not by wiping out humanity. And as we know, Jesus is the way of salvation. But people need us to share this with them in the way we treat people and with what we say. And so we need to be willing to think of ways to reveal to those around us who Jesus has revealed himself to be to us. Jesus has been revealed to us by God. He is the Son of God. And it is the dove of God sent to proclaim that God has made a way of salvation. We are called to reveal him to the world. Amen.